ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय तत् राजं भारतीर्पिण्डार्थं सुवार्तं एवनस्यु जावा करुतदोक्षज दीयास् तारि मे नुग्राहा प्रीता तत्प्रजाभातिपिण्डार्थं स्वार्थम् एव न सुजवा करुतदोक्षजादीयास् तारि मे नुर्गः कृता तत्प्रजाभातिर्पिण्डार्थम् स्वार्थमेव न सुजवान् करुतदोक्षजादीयास् तारि मे नुर्गः कृता Thank you. That, therefore, Praja, my dear citizens, bart on the of the master, Pinda Artam, welfare after death, Sva Artam, own interest, Eva, certainly. Anasujava, without being envious, Kuruta, just execute, Adokshaja, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Dija, thinking of Him, Tari, therefore, me, unto me, Anugraha, mercy, krita, being done. Translation by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Prithu Maharaj continued, therefore, my citizens, for the welfare of your king after his death, you should execute your duties properly in terms of your positions of varna and ashrama, and should always think of the Supreme Personality of Godhead within your hearts. By doing so, you will protect your own interests and you will be best of mercy upon your king for his welfare after death. Purport. The words Adokshaja Dija, meaning Krishna consciousness, are very important in this verse. The king and citizens should both be Krishna conscious, otherwise both of them will don to lower spices of life after death. A responsible government must teach Krishna consciousness very vigorously for the benefit of all. Without Krishna consciousness, neither the state nor the citizens of the state can be responsible. Prithu Maharaj therefore specified a request for citizens to act in Krishna consciousness, and he was also very anxious to teach them how to become Krishna conscious. A summary of Krishna consciousness is given in Bhagavad Gita 9:27. Yat karoshi yad ashnasi yad jugosi dadashi yat yat tapasyasi kauntiya tat kurushva mat ar param. Whether you do, whether you eat, whether you give in charity, and whether penances you undergo should be done in Krishna conscious or for the satisfaction of Supreme Personality of Godhead. If all the people of the state, including the government servants, are taught the techniques of spiritual life, then although everyone is liable to be punished in different ways by the strength law of material nature, they will not be implicated. Thank you very much for coming today. So we are on the fourth canto, chapter number 21, introduction by instructions by Maharaj Prithu, verse number 25. So today we will discuss about very, very interesting, very important topic for all of us. Since we are just on the beginning of our society, basically only a couple of years passed in Srila Prabhupada create International Society for Krishna Consciousness, and we want to last for a long, long time. In the future, we have to learn some of the basic principles of the Vaishnava life, of Vaishnava living. And one of those principles is also how to behave properly according to our Varna and Dharma and Ashram. That means how to take part of one Ashram system. His Holiness Bhaktivedanta Purna Maharaj mentioned yesterday, and it was very clearly stated, that there is nobody here or anywhere else outside of one Ashram system. We can pretend to be outside of that, but we are not. We all have our Varna and our Ashram, and we have to follow certain rules and regulations. It doesn't matter if king is alive or dead. It doesn't matter if we have some shelter on the senior authorities or not. Our duty is to follow rules and regulations without any excuse. And that's something what we have to take as the main principle in our life. As something, this is something what actually can help us to go back to Krishna. This is something what, you know, will make us successful in this life. And we'll discuss about that a little bit today. There are a few principles which we have to follow and we have to pay attention about if we want to be successful in following regulations with or without supervision, with or without king present. And some of those are duty. We'll discuss today what is our duty, how we have to behave, what we have to do, and why we have to do it. Why duty is very important, why we have to develop the consciousness of duty. The other one is something very interesting. I met many devotees, and most of devotees, the difference between devotees and karmis is actually the devotees are very, very intelligent people, extremely intelligent personalities. You can find people who are not devotees who are also intelligent, who have material intelligence. But the higher intelligence is not there. Higher intelligence means asking the right questions. High intelligence means looking for the right answers. And that's only you can find with a higher kind of human beings. And on the top of that mountain are actually devotees, which is great. But even if you become devotee one day or candidate for devotee, we still have to be even more intelligent. So today we will discuss how to be intelligent in Krishna consciousness. Because it's not enough just to become devotee. It takes more than that. We have to be intelligent devotee. So we'll discuss about intelligent Krishna consciousness. And the third point I want to touch today is how to be deep, how to go deeper in Krishna consciousness. That means not just to be devotee, just to relate with that term, devotee, but to go deeper, to go inside of the heart, to make a strong connection with Supreme Personality of Godhead, with Krishna. So we will discuss about those three points today. So regarding duty, first point, again I'm coming back on beginning, maybe we are not this body, but we have to behave still according to regulations and rules and vanasham, that means vana and ashama, which we get when accepting this body. So yes, many times, I mean few times I had experience when I discussed with some devotees, they said, doesn't matter, I'm not this body anyway. Yeah, it's true, we are not this body, fact. But another fact is still, we have that body. And we have to behave properly according to vana and ashrama, which this body bring to us in this particular life, because this is good for us. This is where is our level, this is where we stand, and this is only way to go higher. Otherwise it's not possible. So once we accept our varna, once we accept our ashram, and once we start to behave according to rules and regulations, without exception, then we can go for the higher. Then we can achieve higher levels of consciousness, then we can achieve something what we can just dream about, like Bhava, Mahabhava, and very, very high levels of Krishna consciousness. So first basic thing is that we have to accept who we are, without pretending. We have to find our vana and our ashrama. We have to be very honest who we are and what is our consciousness and where we are, on which level, and then to start from there. If we start from the higher level, it's dangerous for us. If we start from the lower level, again it's dangerous for us. Only exactly particular level where we belong in this particular moment is best, so that we can go higher. So, Maharaj Prithu, as we mentioned last time, I mentioned he's Adiraja. He is example of being ideal king. He is example of being ideal ruler. He was all the time taking care about citizens, about their needs. His society was a Vedic society, and all citizens was very happy and very Krishna conscious. So this is ideal picture. Having king who is Krishna conscious and having citizens who are Krishna conscious. But you can imagine how far away his consciousness is coming when even on the end of his life he stand in front of his citizens and said, okay, now we have to discuss what after I leave the planet, what will happen to all of you. So he didn't mention in the beginning, please do it for me. You know, because king has the benefit even after he left his body, whatever citizens are doing, the part of that karma is coming to the king. He mentioned that in the second part. The first part was, you have to do it for your own benefit. Citizens have to be serious and sincere. They have to be aware that we have to be aware whatever we are doing first of all for ourselves. That consciousness should not be priority consciousness for us. Priority consciousness has to be we are doing it for Krishna. But definitely on the end of the story, everything will come back to us, and we own that to Krishna, to raise up our consciousness and to go back to the spiritual world. We own that to Krishna. This is what Krishna wants from us, and doesn't want to do it for ourselves, we have to do it for him anyway. So that's why it doesn't matter if king is alive or dead. It doesn't matter if spiritual master is present or not. We will discuss about that as well. We have to follow rules and regulations. Because on ultimate level, nobody is dead. That's just illusion. We are all very wealthy, healthy and alive. Srila Prabhupada is alive. We are all alive. All our spiritual masters are alive and will be alive forever. Everything else is illusion. Krishna is alive. Definitely. So that's why we have to be conscious all the time. Not to live in our old small illusions. You know, mind is very tricky. Mind is very tricky. They're using every single moment to preach us on the wrong way. Until mind don't become our best friend. But that's in the later stages of the life. So the point is that even if some turbulence happen in the life, even if some problems happen, we should not be disturbed about that. Because those problems are there just for our own benefit. Those problems are there just to make us stronger. And we have to stay strong and determined to follow the path which we choose. Not to use that as excuse to change our habits. It has to make us even stronger. So, I remember a couple of years back, we have a very unpleasant situation. All my god brothers and god sisters, our spiritual master Jayapataka Maharaj, he went through serious trouble with his health. And there was they sent us information came that he got a stroke in Bombay. So day after that, I remember I was flying there with Vanguranga Prabhu and Rasevaki Mataji. In that time he was in the middle of doing Radharani book, and we all went there, the more devotees came. So I had some shifts there in the room with Guru Maharaj. I remember with Seva Saru Prabhu, I spent a lot of time there. And he was unconscious. He was just lying down with all, different instruments attached to his body. We had shifts like 6 hours, 4 hours. It was changing every single day. And after a couple of days, the doctor informed us that it would be very difficult, and that we have to prepare so even the last will came from America. Even we discussed about samadhi, and it was very painful and very hard to go through that experience, but we had to. There was only 15-20 of us there, and we have to make the decisions. We discussed about transport of the body and everything else. So somehow, so many new questions for me came up in my heart in that moment. I mean, all those days. It was, first of all, the question was, what after? What after? All Srila Prabhupada disciples, they went through the similar story when Prabhupada left. Bhaktivedanta Maharaj disciples, Tamakrishna Maharaj disciples. We was very lucky in this particular situation. But what after? What will happen? There is a small peace of mind said, okay, so there is no life without him. The second part of mind saying, okay, maybe we should move back to west, because Mayapur is Jayapataka Swami for us, and it's very difficult to survive here. The third part of mind said, okay, it doesn't matter, we should just continue to do whatever we are doing. We own that to him. So there are many different aspects, different deeper parts of our heart, which we don't recognize in every day's dealing with the life, but they're present there. And in hard situations, those deeper questions, deeper decisions, they're coming up, and we have to decide. So we are the one who has to decide. But questions are there. And we have to be very careful what is our decision in that particular moment. So Maharaj Prithu, he gave like a lifetime instruction through this particular verse, that we should not be disturbed, that we have to continue on the same way, and we have to establish the deeper connection with Lord, the deeper connection with Krishna. Now, the very important aspect of that is that we have to be intelligent in Krishna consciousness, and I will discuss about that a little bit. Verse 10:10 in Bhagavad Gita, you probably all know that verse. I want to put focus particularly on one part of the purport of Srila Prabhupada. So the sincere devotees engaged in Krishna consciousness cannot be without knowledge. The only qualification is that one carry out devotional service in full Krishna consciousness. The Mayavadi philosophers think that without discriminating one cannot have pure knowledge. For them, this answer is given by the Supreme Lord. Those who are engaged in pure devotional service, even though they be without sufficient education and even without sufficient knowledge of the Vedic principles, are still helped by the Supreme God, as stated in this verse. The Lord tells Arjuna that basically there is no possibility of understanding the Supreme Truth, the Absolute Truth, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and simply by speculating, for the Supreme Truth is so great that it is not possible to understand Him or to achieve Him simply by making a mental effort. So, in this purport, Srila Prabhupada encouraged us to not to speculate so much, not to think so much, but to accept truth, that Krishna is always there with us, that Krishna is always taking care so nicely about us, and what we have to do is just to accept His shelter. We have to accept Krishna, and that's the highest intelligence. Once we develop deep connection with Krishna, there is no way of being disturbed of any outside circumstances. There is no way of being disturbed by any influence, because we'll have the higher Krishna consciousness. And the higher Krishna consciousness means, yes, we are dasa anudasa, we are servants of the servants, we are trying to serve devotees, we are trying to serve our spiritual master, we are trying to serve all other human beings, but inside of our heart there is nobody else except us and Krishna alone, just two of us. And that's why we have obligation to develop nice association, nice gathering with the Lord in our heart. We have to behave properly. In that temple inside, we are devotee and He is the Lord. He is the deity, we are pujari, we are everything to Him. He depends on us. And once we develop this eternal internal relationship with the Lord, then we achieve the higher level of Krishna consciousness. And that will not change for the rest of our life. That will not change in the next life. That will not change ever. He will be there. We cannot skip that. We cannot run away from Krishna. We can just pretend that He is not around. But He is. He is always around because He is everything. We cannot go out of everything. Everything is everywhere and we have to be part of that. That's why it's better for us to accept that fact and to develop a deep relationship with the original source of everything, with the Lord. So whoever is very intelligent, he has to accept that fact and he has to deal according to that. That means rules and regulations, we should not just follow outside on this particular place. I live in Mayapur, and Mayapur is a place where we have so many rules and regulations. That's why to satisfy another devotees around, I have to follow that. So I will do nonsense inside of my heart and my mind. That's not forbidden. MCS will not check that. Or whoever. The point is that we have to develop internal consciousness. We have examples of some great acharyas that externally they didn't behave, you can say, on the proper way. They did some things which the regular human being is very hard to understand. But, you know, from the inside it was so high that we cannot imagine. Gokishor Das Babaji, people were coming to him and he was hiding under the boat, you know, on the bank of Ganga, Navadvip there, on Navadvip side. People was coming, they want to have darshan with him. He was very, you know, enlightened person at that time. They wanted to have Siddhanta from him. They want to have a benefit. And he just said, no, they could not find him. And he was hiding, you know, he put on the top of him the boat, and, you know, he didn't want anybody to disturb him in his sadhana, and his chanting and everything else. We have many that kind of examples. Now from the outside, they will see, okay, what's wrong with that person? Why he's hiding of us? He has to give us Siddhanta. Maybe he's not pure. That's illusion. No, he just wants to develop a very deep connection with Krishna. And he's not functioning anymore on the level my mind and my intelligence, the big fight all the time going on inside. No, he functions on the level of me and Krishna, actually Krishna and myself. Krishna is telling him what he's supposed to do in which particular moment. And Krishna is very difficult to understand, right? So that's why we should not judge. We should not judge just according to external circumstances. We'll discuss about that a little bit later. That's the highest part of intelligence in Krishna consciousness. So there is very important point when we discuss about intelligence. This is yukta vairagya. Yukta vairagya means proper renunciation. So we are going back on the square again. We have to accept our varna and ashrama, and we have to take the best possible renunciation for ourselves. Renunciation is what? Renunciation is that we have to see how we can deal, how much we can take, and what is my personal level right now. There are so many times Srila Prabhupada put together in the practical terms, he made comparison with the instruments. If you have the wire instrument, if you tight it too much, the sound will come in a very strange way. Beep. Or even you can break the wire. If you tie it too less, then the sound will be very deep, like a bass guitar, and still the proper sound will not come out. So we have to, we call it shtimung, we have to tight it properly to get the perfect sound coming out from the instrument. For example, tampura, you need to have the very perfect combination of four sounds within those four sounds, two are exactly same, and has to be same. If there is variation, even 2%, you don't get the right tampura sound, and you don't have this energy coming down. So, renunciation means intelligent renunciation, means how much is good for me right now, and always take a little bit more, and more, and more. So slowly, slowly, in the mode of goodness, we are going to build the proper initiation, and on the end of the life, we're going to be ready. If we tie it too much, we're going to break it one day. Then it will be like, Krishna consciousness is not the right path, I was reading the wrong books, my guru is not the proper guru, and all those points. But actually, because we was not intelligent enough, we faced with the problems in Krishna consciousness. That's why we have to be intelligent. Intelligence means accepting things as they are and act according to that. That's intelligence. And accepting voluntary renunciation. If we don't fast for Ekadashi, if we don't follow rules and regulations, then there is no hope for us. We can go around, we can enjoy in Mayapur environment. You know, we can eat nice coconuts and bananas, we can come to the temple and everything else. If we don't accept renunciation, we don't have a benefit, we're not going to have taste for the holy name. We're not going to have taste for Mayapur, for Lok Gauranga. Because he gave us his example. What does it mean having the proper renunciation? What if Guru leave the planet? 1977, in November, we had a major strike in the whole Krishna conscious movement. Until now, Srila Prabhupada left. Then, those kind of difficult times, you can see who is really serious and who is not, who really developed deeper connection with the Krishna and who was there just for the mundane benefit, just because he wants to belong somewhere, just because I need a family, I want to stay here. That's the main point in Krishna consciousness, is that we have to develop the deep connection with the Lord. So, 1977, Srila Prabhupada left, and there were many discussions what we're supposed to do now. Should we stay, or we have to go now, on how we can continue this society, what will happen to us. Even some devotees left the movement, because there is no Krishna consciousness without Srila Prabhupada, which is a big illusion, because Srila Prabhupada is always here with us. Even today, even right now, this particular lesson. He mentioned that he's going to be present in his books all the time. His Siddhanta is here. Everything best what Srila Prabhupada had to tell us, it's still with us. We can hear, we can read, we can have association of that. So we cannot skip even Srila Prabhupada. What to mention about Krishna? He's around. So if Guru leave the planet, we just have to continue. For his benefit and for our benefit as well. We still have to be attached with the higher source, with the Krishna, because as we mentioned, he never gonna leave. There are some very, very nice examples. I have one friend and his guru left the planet on a very beautiful way. And after that, he even start, you know, doing, having more strong Krishna consciousness. He start chanting more. He start, you know, putting his sadhana even on the better way. And, you know, that just helped him to increase his seriousness. Because how generations, you know, all this kind of organization, we have a tendency to make things soft, to slow down. Any new generation coming, you know, new generation is more soft. People are more flexible. They accept more unnecessary things, and it's like a putting more and more water when you're trying to make preparation. It's just you're losing the taste. That's one of the reasons why I accept to sit on this Vyasam, and they asked me a couple of months back. It's not that I feel that I'm qualified to do that. No, far away from that. Bhaktivedya Purna Maharaj is qualified. All those very nice Prabhupada disciples who are coming here are qualified. I just see it because I believe that we from this second generation, we have to take responsibility as well. We can go behind the curtain, second generation, you know. But we are all almost like 30, 40, some of us even 50 years old. We are not second generation anymore. We are here in the same line with the remaining Srila Prabhupada disciples, and we need to help them and to be serious enough to spread this movement. That's the only reason. I'm not qualified at all. I believe that many of us should sit here. So, the point is that we have to accept one fact which even karmis knows. Life goes on. And according to that, we have to deal. Bhagavad Gita 12:20, in the purport again of Srila Prabhupada, it's mentioned that one should hear from bona fide spiritual master. That word bona fide, it's not just connected with the spiritual master, it's connected with the king, it's connected with the parents also, with all different authorities. You need to have a bona fide authority. Bona fide authority means somebody who will help us to develop in Krishna consciousness. Somebody who is deeper than us. Somebody who really can give us the proper words, the proper Siddhanta. Somebody who is worth to follow. that's the proper definition of bona fide. So it's not mentioned in the Shastras that we need to have a spiritual master. No. It's mentioned that we need to have a bona fide spiritual master. That's different. It makes sense. Bona fide spiritual master means a link. Somebody who is connected with Parampara. Somebody who is distributing message of Lord Krishna through Parampara, through his spiritual master, in this case, let's say Srila Prabhupada, on the exactly same way. One is sending the message, distributing the message, the second part is following the rules and regulations on the perfect way. If we have those two characteristics, that's the bona fide spiritual master. That's somebody we have to follow. That's somebody that whose example we have to take as like the star, the leading star in our life, the polar star. If we don't have those two aspects present, that spiritual master is not bona fide and we should not follow his Siddhanta. You have devotees who are good with words. You know, they can tell the things, they're very smart, they're pandits, they're intelligent, but if they don't follow what they're talking, they're not bona fide. So we have to be very serious to become bona fide as well. Being a bona fide devotee is also very important. One thing is being devotee, another thing is being bona fide devotee. Devotee means, you know, I'm around, I dress like devotee, I have devotee friends, I'm in devotee association, I'm trying to follow as much as I can. But bona fide devotee means somebody who is serious in Krishna consciousness. Bona fide devotee is somebody who is facing even with his weaknesses. That's bona fide devotee. That's seriousness. So if we want to be serious in Krishna consciousness, and that's also part of intelligence, right? We have to be a bona fide devotee. Without that, we're not going to be successful in spiritual life. There is no spiritual life without that. It's just association. It's a Facebook thing. But with the seriousness, then we got a higher level. Then we get a taste. Then we can survive. Then we really can see Krishna on the end of the tunnel when we're leaving our body. That's the difference. Maybe in the beginning it looks like a slight difference. On the end, the term, it's like a big crossing. It's going in two different ways, those two roads. And we are the one, not intelligent, not mind, nobody else. We are the one who are choosing which path we're going to take in our life. We are the one who are choosing on the crossing, where we're going to go. So, one of the main regulations is whatever happened to me, whoever goes and thinks around me, whatever is the way how things are going on around me, I have to see the deeper meaning behind that. We have to see what Krishna is trying to tell us and why this situation happening to me. I'm going to share one story with you. It's not Krishna conscious story, but it's very relevant for this particular point and it will tell a lot. I hope I'm not going to spoil your day, but I think it's very important for you to hear that. There was one small girl named Susan. The whole happening, everything happened 15 years back in America. Susan was very sweet, very beautiful girl, and she was also a little bit naughty, same like all other girls and boys in that age, right? And she loved her mother so much. Her mother, she was also a great person, a great woman, and she was trying her best, you know. A lot of work, she was going for job, coming back, Michelle was the name of her mother, coming back, taking care about Suzanne, taking care about her husband, her father and everything. And sometimes she was feeling tired, very tired. So one day, Suzanne came to her mother and she had a lipstick in her hand. And she told mother, "Oh, I drew something on the sheets in the sleeping room. You know, the white sheets for sleeping." She just said, "Mother, I drew something on the sheets." And mother, she just put the new sheets on the bed. Maybe that particular morning, it was like brand new. And now it was destroyed. So because Michelle was a little bit tired and frustrated and everything, she slapped the daughter, and daughter fell down. Then mother went to the room, and she saw that Suzanne, with the lipstick on the bed, with the big, she wrote something what she just learned the other day, and that was the big letter I and the heart. She wanted to show her mother how much she loved her. She used the lipstick because mother was using the lipstick every single day, and that was the only way to show her that she liked how mother is kissing her and everything. And she just wrote that, I love. Mother started crying, she came back, and she wanted to apologize to Michelle, but Michelle was not moving. She tried to wake her up, but Michelle could not wake up. She slapped her a little bit harder, and she, you know, she got, there was a very hard portion of the table, and she got stuck there, and she left her body. So, of course, they put Michelle in the prison for a couple of years. She came out, but she never recovered from that loss, from one single moment of ignorance. Because she didn't understand properly what her daughter is trying to say. Suzanne, she did everything perfectly. She's 3 years old. Her consciousness on that level, and this is only way to express herself. She didn't do anything wrong. She took the thing which reminds her of her mother, and she wrote something to show her love and appreciation. And mother, she was frustrated because she did her best to make that room look nice. But just one moment changed both lives forever. I choose this story to show you that we always have to be careful. We should not watch things from the outside, how things look. Okay, the bed sheet, I give so much energy to that, you spoil it, it's finished, it's over, you did something wrong. We have to try to understand each other. We have to develop the deeper relationships with each other. We should not judge according to how things look from outside, because on the outside we see nothing. And from the inside is only Krishna. And only if we develop a relationship with Krishna in our heart, we can understand the people around us. There is no other way. We should not speak bad about another devotees behind their back. We should not judge them. Because we don't know the absolute truth. We don't know exactly situations through which they were going. We don't know why they did certain things. We can just speculate. And speculation is not so welcome. So intelligent Krishna consciousness and being deep, it also means that we have to go out from me, mine and myself and trying to see the things from the higher perspective. So being deep doesn't mean going inside deeper. Being deep means going higher, watching things from the higher perspective. That means being deep. Being deep means seeing Krishna everywhere. So Krishna is not just in my heart. Krishna is everywhere, even in this particular room right now. That means being deep. So, if we don't understand something and we would like to know if there is some happening important for us, we have to ask. We have to go in the source. If some behavior of some Vaishnava is not something that we can tolerate and accept, we have to go in to ask first. We have to understand each other. Because always, everything in our life are actually messages which Krishna is sending to us, trying to remind us where we belong, about our origin, and what we have to do, and how to go back to the spiritual world. One of the most powerful tools to achieve that high level, being intelligent and being deep, is prayer. There are also different ways how we can pray. You know, we can go like in Christian church. You go there, in the other room there's a priest, and you ask him, okay, there is a list. This week I did this, 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 that, and a little bit of this, and should I tell you this one as well? Okay, and that one, oh, this one I cannot tell you, but please clean my karma. Clean me from everything. And priest said, okay, how much money you're giving? Okay, you're clean now. Go, you have a whole week in front of you. Haribo. They don't say Haribo, but they said similar things. And that's the prayer. The second level of prayer is if we go in front of Krishna and ask for different benefits. Okay, I will do this and that, but in the return I need, you know, like the police. This is whatever Kamsa did, Ravana did, all those big demons, they did so strong austerity, so big austerities. You know, for 80,000 years he was doing austerity. Just to get benefit to be immortal. I mean almost immortal, because it's not possible to be immortal. So there's a second kind, and the third level of prayer, having a prayer, is without personal benefit. The prayer just to surrender to Krishna. The prayer just to have enough close relationship with the Krishna. When Krishna asked Maharaj Prithu, okay, so which kind of benefit you want? You really satisfied me. I will stay a little bit more time in your kingdom. Which benefit you want for yourself? And he told him, I don't want any material benefit. I already have everything. I just want to serve you life after life. I want to be your servant. I want to know about you all the time. I want to have consciousness about you. That was only what he wants. He wants Krishna. He doesn't want himself. Basically, there are only two things which we can pray for ourselves and for Krishna. That's it. If we think less about ourselves, we'll have a better life. If we think more about Krishna and how to satisfy the Vaishnavas, how to make them happy, we're going to have a perfect life. It's up to us. So prayers are very, very powerful, very strong, and we should never forget to take a serious prayer as a part of our life. Now I will go back to Bombay again to finish my story about my spiritual master. So I was in the room and the doctor came and told us in the Hindujak hospital. He told us, okay, it looks like that after 8 hours we have to turn off all instruments there. It was just 8 hours. We had more with our spiritual master. We didn't know what to do. You know, it was like, okay, it's done, it's finished, it's over. You know, we have to surrender. He was all crying, he was all sad. And in one moment, it happened that Guru Maharaj moved one of his fingers. One of the devotees immediately ran to the doctor to tell him, okay, he moved the finger. Doctor said, that's nothing. That's just, you know, because he had touched with the different instruments and it's just a reflex. That's nothing. 2 hours later, I saw Guru Maharaj trying to open his eye a little bit, which was completely red, full of blood. And we went to see doctor and he said, that's maybe something, but it's still not enough. And we was like, we became like really angry on that doctor. So we came back and maybe 1 hour later, the one nurse was present at that particular moment. I was outside of the room in that time. Guru Maharaj, he opened again, the same eye, just a little bit more. And then doctor made decision to postpone the process of switching off instrument. That means that he want to give him 24 hours of full supervision more to check what's going on. Still, 90% was, according to doctor, that it's just external effect. It's just like nerve, because machine was working very strong. There are many machines around. 5 hours later, Guru Maharaj opened his eyes for the first time. And this is something I never can forget in my life. It was completely red. You don't see white color, you don't see it. It was just a red color. Completely red, blood. But he opened it. And we was all so happy, and in one moment, the doctor said, wow, that's the miracle. And then one devotee came to him, and he told him, no, my dear doctor, it's not a miracle. That's the power of prayer. You don't know how many thousands of devotees are praying right now for his benefit. That's the power of prayer. So we have to be aware about that all the time. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. So, do you have any questions or any comments? Okay, thank you. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Bhagavatam ki jai. Go Premanande.